acapella when I do it. It's acapoco. So this morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at this good man. He knows my throat is already scratchy this morning. First Corinthians chapter 11, and if you're familiar with this passage, it does have to do with communion. You know, we have communion tonight, and I feel like, I don't know, my whole life, I've felt like the communion service should be more than what we always make of it. And I never can put my finger on exactly why, and then I started studying it, and I realize it's not about the little wafer or whatever that you eat. It's not about the little sample of grape juice that you drink. But it's about what's going on in your heart. It's about your spiritual life. And I hope that today that we can really get some attention to what it really does mean when we do those things in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Because to be honest, you shouldn't be communing with about Jesus whenever it is that you take communion. You should be communing with Him every single day of your life. But I want to tell you something. When I look around and I see the way that most so-called Christians live their life, they're not. They're not doing that. They're not remembering Jesus every day of their life. They only remember Him sometimes. Only sometimes. And that's something that I think that we really need to think about, especially today, because I ask you to pray extra today. And I mean that. Because we are on the verge of God changing the scope of what it means to go to church. Do you all agree with that? You look around in our community, and it used to be, you know, 85 to 90% of the population of Jonesboro assembled in a place on every Sunday. They were there. 30 years ago, just about every building was just packed with people. If a church building popped up, it didn't take long to get it full. And they thought that they needed to build. But what we've been seeing is we've been seeing church closing their doors. More churches closing their doors than churches opening. We've seen the smaller ones disappearing and the bigger ones appearing. Is that not true? Is that not what we're seeing happening? So something has happened. And as I was doing some studying this week, it looks like every time that there's some kind of a major revolution that happens, the scope of the church changes. The framework of it changes. You look back in Martin Luther's day, he came out of the Catholic institution and started what we know as the Protestant movement. Hey, we happen to be part of the recipients of that Protestant movement. Whether you want to trace yourself back to that, us meeting like this is what was born out of that. And then when the age of technology came on the scene back in the early 1900s, it changed again. And here we are about 15 years into the internet, and we have an information revolution happening, and the church is trying to figure out how do we deal with that. It's changing. And what you as an individual do with Jesus Christ in your life will determine what's going to happen here. Is this building going to continue to represent Bethany Baptist Church? Or is Bethany Baptist Church going to divide into something else? It's going to matter what you do with Jesus Christ on a regular spiritual basis. And it has to do with true communion. Do you truly commune with Jesus Christ? Do you do these things in remembrance of Jesus? Would you look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 And when I want to read some passages. In fact, today is going to be a complicated message. I challenge you, take down some notes. Write down these scriptures. Look them up for yourselves. Because it's going to mean something to you. If it means nothing to you, then I guess you talk to God about that. But look with me in verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance as of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." Pray with me, please. Dear Lord, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us in our thoughts and our understanding this morning, that you will grant us the knowledge that we need, and that you would fill our spirits with what it needs to be filled with. And when we leave this place, that we will not leave with just saying, "Oh, that was whatever kind of message that they may receive from it," but they will seek your guidance and your face, and that they would cherish your words, knowing that they are profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction. Lord, we need those things in our life. We need to grow in you. Lord, would you touch our spirits, that each and every day that our spirits will commune with you, that we will each day through the Spirit break bread with our Creator, and that we will acknowledge the sacrifice and the holiness of your Son, whom his body was broken for our sins, who gave his blood that our sins could be atoned for. Lord, help us to understand your message of salvation and share it to a lost and dying world. And each day, show the remembrance of your work on our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to look back at verses 24 and 25 just for a second. Two phrases that he would say, this do in remembrance of me. So do these things in remembrance of me. These are, I don't know if you have a red letter version, the Apostle Paul, he's reaching back to where Jesus would tell his disciples, whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Well, what is it, Jesus, that you want us to remember? Remember, we've been studying through the book of Mark. That is about the gospel of the kingdom. It is about the gospel. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26-27. He says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." What does that mean, to be guilty of the body and the blood? That means you're guilty of not living the gospel. Do you understand that? Maybe some of you don't understand. What is the gospel? Could somebody give me a summary of the gospel real quick? Raise your hand if you know what the gospel is. Miss Louise, what is it? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't live according to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're not living out the gospel. And there's so many people that they walk through this world and it's all about themselves and it's never about Jesus Christ. They're not living it for Him. They're living it for themselves, and they've become selfish in themselves. And they have forgotten what the gospel of the kingdom really is about. What does that mean? It means that your life should glorify Almighty God in every single thing. What you watch with your eyes, the words that you speak with your mouth, what you do with your hands, where you allow your feet to go, the thoughts that are come to your mind, do they glorify Almighty God? That's what it means to do, to take into yourself the gospel. Now, you might not understand what that really means. You know, communion, that's what it is. When you take it in, you take the bread in, you're saying, I agree with the broken body of Jesus Christ. That's what you're saying. I agree that He was broken. What was He broken for? He was broken for my sins. You know what you take into your body? Often that's what you become. You know, when I was taking my biology class, that for some reason they like to talk about hot dogs and Oreo cookies in that biology class. Because when you, if you would only eat hot dogs and Oreo cookies, what you would do is you would mess up your DNA. That's what my biology class was teaching. That it would reformat your DNA, what your body was doing on the inside. At first, people wouldn't be able to tell what's going on. But on the inside of your body, you would start developing tumors because you're eating so much processed food. And then you're feeding it with Oreo cookies, pure sugar, processed sugar. And it would reshape the inside of your body. But it wouldn't take long until what's going on the inside starts coming out on the outside. You see, what you take into your body, what are you communing with each and every day of your life, is reshaping what's inside your Christian DNA, your spiritual DNA. And when Jesus is saying, take in, eat my body, I want you to take me in, take in the gospel, the brokenness of Jesus Christ. Because He was broken for our transgressions. Isaiah 53 will say, He shed His blood. He would ask John and James, because they wanted one to sit on the right and one to sit on the left, and He would ask them, are you able to drink the cup that I'm able to drink of? And they said, yes, Lord, we can do that. And He says, you're right, you will. Do you realize that James was beheaded for Jesus Christ? Do you realize that John was boiled in oil and exiled to the island of Patmos? Oh yes, he drank the cup that Jesus Christ drank from. And He's asking you, be ready to drink of that cup. Are you willing? James and John said, we're willing. And Jesus said, yes, you will. Do you find it surprising, if you're going to live for Jesus Christ, that tribulations come your way? That problems come your way? Because you're willing to drink of that cup. Because you want to testify with your life, Jesus Christ, and you take Him into you. That's what it's about. It's about taking into yourself the gospel so that you may glorify God with true communion. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 16 and 17, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being one bread and one body, we are partakers of that bread. When you decide that, yes, I am going to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'm accepting everything that Jesus went through. I'm willing to go through myself. I know that's not a popular gospel to preach, is it? Most people, when they're preaching, they're gonna stand up there and they're gonna say, if you take in Jesus, man, your marriage is gonna get better, your finances are gonna get straightened out, your kids are gonna do right. Will they? There's no guarantee to that. That's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says is that He gives you peace as you go through those things, so that you could be a testimony of His righteousness. Because that's what it's about. You become a testimony of His holiness. That even though you may be going through those things, He says that there's no temptation that's come upon men that He's not able to get you through. That doesn't mean that you won't have to go through it. That means that He gives you grace. He gives you grace to get through these things. That no longer are these things that you look at them as overcoming you, but He gives you power to overcome them. But that only happens whenever you truly commune with Jesus Christ. When you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to take in Your body. Yes, Lord, I'm going to drink of the same cup that You've supped from. I'm willing to do that." Philippians 3 and verse 10. Y'all remember that verse? "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings." Let me ask you, when you wake up on Monday mornings, do you say, "Lord, I want to know the power of Your resurrection and I want to know the fellowship of Your suffering"? Do you really? Do you really? Because if you're going to experience the resurrection, that means that you've got to die first. If you're going to have fellowship with His sufferings, that means that there's going to be pain. That means that there's going to be sorrow. Why would there be pain? Because when you see the state of sin, it hurts you. When you see your community plagued with problems, it bothers you. When you hear about missionaries who are suffering overseas, you hurt with them. You have fellowship with His suffering, with His people. But oftentimes we forget about it. We forget. And we don't do these things in remembrance of Him. We're like, "Lord, we just want You to bless us. We want You to take all of our problems away." If you're really going to understand His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, don't be surprised when this world hates you and wants to try to destroy you. And when you witness and when you recognize that fact, what you will see is you will see the power of Almighty God come into your life, that even though those things are going on, He gets you through it. Because you're starting to die to yourself. And He resurrects you in His power. You have fellowship of His sufferings. Because He knows your pain. He feels your pain. He understands your tears. He understands why you hurt. What He wants is you to understand why other people have pain. And why other people hurt. Why other people have tears. And when you pray, that's how you pray. You pray for them. And you have fellowship with the sufferings. You don't think that that's what it's talking about? Jesus would say it like this. "You guys, y'all, you clothed me when I was naked. You gave me food when I was hungry." And they would say, "Lord, what are You talking about? How did we do those things?" And He said, "When you've done those to the least of these, it's as though you've done them to Me." You see, when you can understand communion with other believers and you can understand their pain and their suffering and you can feel, get the hold of the heart of God that He wants to bring redemption to a lost and dying world, then you're starting to understand true communion. How do we do this? How are you going to do this in your life? Well, it starts by the preaching of the cross. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God." You know, we might not understand what the preaching of the cross really is. We know that Jesus died on the cross, that He was lifted up from the ground. And He said that if I be lifted up from the earth, would draw all men unto Me. You remember that. But do you remember this? Look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Those are hard. That's a hard verse, isn't it? If any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Do you understand what deny yourself means? It means your ambitions. It means your desires. The things that you cherish most, you would deny those things. You'd be willing to deny those things. And you would take up that cross. And you would follow Jesus no matter what. You don't think that that's what it's talking about? Look at the next verse. Go to 25, Caden. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You think, Brother Mitch, don't tell me to give up those things. If I'm there for them, then I'll be able to save them. If I do this with them, that'll get it. You know, that's why a lot of people don't come to church on Sundays. They say, well, that's the only day of the week that I get to spend with my family. You see, they're seeking to save their family. Let me tell you what the Scripture says. If you're going to save it, you'll deny it. Because if you want to save it for yourself, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose your kids. We've got a generation. The kids just about refuse to come to church. They see no value in it. Parents didn't say it was important. But Jesus said, whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. See, we put a lot of value on things that are temporary in this world. And we think that if we tighten our grip on it, that we will keep it safe. When really what's happening, it's like trying to grasp sand. Have you ever tried to do that? You ever try to get a handful of sand? Start squeezing. What happens? It falls out. You can't hold on to it. You're not strong enough. You're not powerful enough. That's why you need a helper. That's why you need a Savior. Because we're losing. The tighter we hold on, the more we're going to lose it. But what if I could take that handful of sand and I could put it in the mighty hands of my Creator who created all the sand with His spoken word and I give it to Him? Do you think He loses a single grain? Let me tell you, He loses none. His hands are bigger. His hands are stronger. We even sing that song. He's got the whole world in His hands. And here I am. I think I can hold on to some. And the tighter I grab, the more I lose. When it would be better for me to loosen my grip and just put it in the hands of the one who's already got the whole world in His hands and take up my cross. Deny myself and take up the cross daily. That's what the Scripture said. There's no comfort in taking up the cross. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Y'all notice something about Corinthians yet? It talks about communion all the way through, even to this. Chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, verse 19. Look what it says. It says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Paul says, I'm free from all men, but I've made myself a servant. Why? So I can gain more. And unto the Jews, I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak, in verse 22, became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by some means save some. And this, why do you do this, Paul? I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that they may obtain. And then every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now do they obtain a corruptible crown, but we an uncorruptible. You see, the Apostle Paul is saying, the gospel, me denying myself, me becoming a servant, me communing with Jesus Christ in my spirit every single day like I should, understanding the brokenness, understanding the cup, being willing to be to whatever people need me to be, I'm willing to be that so that they could be saved, so that I could gain, I become a servant to them, that by all means that I may save some. Why would I do this? For the gospel. As Sister Louise said, for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, in that I do nothing, but I point everybody to Him. Why would I do it? So that some will all, not all, but it's better than none. You know, we can sit back in our comfortable positions and we can say, God is just, you just do what you need to do. When God is actually telling us, you got to do something. You got to become to all men what they need you to be so that some can be saved. Because if you're not willing to deny yourself, if you're not willing to become a servant, you're like, no, I want to be served. Jesus said, I didn't come to serve. I didn't come for others to serve me. I came to minister to them. I came to serve others. If Jesus Christ came to minister to other people, what do you think your job is supposed to be? You're supposed to be a server. If God is a giver, you think God's a giver? He gave His only begotten Son. If He's a giver, you should be a giver. What have you given lately? Who have you served recently? Jesus would say, the least of these. That's who you're looking for. That's who you're looking for. Because you're willing to fellowship in His suffering and understand the power of the resurrection. You know, if you ever lead somebody to Jesus Christ and you see them change, you've witnessed the true power of the resurrection. Somebody that once was dead and now they're alive. They were dead in their trespasses and sins, and now they've woken to life in Jesus Christ. And it's a whole new world. Things are different. They do things different. They think different. You know what they think differently about? They think about holiness and sacrifice. You see, that's part of the communion. Holiness and sacrifice. I realize you're not going to hear that message very often either. It's not popular. Brother Mitch, you're talking about holiness? You're talking about like doing what God tells you to do? Absolutely. Sacrifice? You mean you're asking me to give of myself? Yes. According to the Scriptures. Now, you don't do anything because I told you to. You do them because that's what Jesus Christ is doing through you. Look with a scripture with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. 1 chapter 3 and 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple? What does that say? Ye are. What does that mean? You are supposed to present your bodies as a living sacrifice according to Romans 1. I'm sorry, 12 in verse 1 and 2. You're supposed to be holy. Brother Mitch, I can't. You're talking about sinless perfection. I'm not talking about sinless perfection to the point where you can do it of yourself, but you do it with Jesus Christ living through you. That you are supposed to present your body holy according to what? 1 Corinthians 3:17. If you think that I can just do whatever it is that I want, God will destroy you. Because you are God's holy temple. He doesn't need a third temple built over there. He needs you to act right. He needs you to take God's holy word, that we say it's holy, and live it. Quit playing games with Jesus. Quit playing games with your eternal life. Holiness. God says, be ye holy because I'm holy. Do you believe God's holy word? Do you believe that your body's supposed to be the temple? If you don't, you don't believe 1 Corinthians 3:17. We need to put away these things. Deny yourself. Take up that cross. Follow Jesus with all your being. That's what he says. And sacrifice. That means, like Romans 1, chapter 12 and verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm willing to sacrifice whatever I need to in this world, whether it's for pleasure, whether it's for lust. I'm willing to put those things away, and I'm ready to follow Jesus with everything that I have. Can you imagine if those who are called by the name of Jesus, who are called Christians, if they would put aside all the worldly stuff and they would follow Him with as much energy as they followed that? I just wonder, Brother Comer, if you went to the Cardinals game and you saw all the energy that came out during that Cardinals game, and you could ask how many were Christians, and they would, you know, how many would raise their hand, if they would take that same energy back home and say, I'm going to put as much energy into serving the Lord as I did this Cardinals game that night, do you think? What, would that change the world? I bet it would. The problem is, we like our comfy seats. We want to let someone else do all the work. We don't want to get our hands dirty. Doing that stuff over there, man, I just can't do it. Does the Scripture say that He wouldn't give you more grace as you go through it? Would He not give you the talents? Does the Holy Spirit come from God? Does He not give the gifts? Don't the gifts of the Spirit come with the Holy Spirit? And you're saying, I can't do it. What He's doing, He's not looking for people who can. He's looking for those who are willing. And if we're not willing, that means that we haven't communed with Jesus Christ. Because if you've communed with Jesus Christ, you're willing to do whatever. It was kind of like somebody. You know, we had the topic come up about baptism. And we asked someone to be baptized again because of what the place that they were baptized in. And they said, no! Why? It's an opportunity for you to share Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with your person, with your body. And they would say, that's too much like circumcision. Don't bring the law back into this. And I'm like, it's not about that. It's about you showing us that you really do believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, because where they came from, that denomination didn't teach that. It taught something else. You know, I've been baptized twice. My wife's been baptized three times. My daughter's been baptized twice. Brother Sean's been baptized twice. We might could go down the list, several people. Because it's not about the water. It's about the communion with Jesus Christ. And if my Holy and if God really has saved me and His Spirit has bonded with my spirit, God, whatever you need me to do, I'm willing to do it. If they ask me to do it, I'm willing to show it. If that's what I need to do, I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm ready to commune with my Jesus. It's not about a wafer. It's not about a drink. It's about, have I really receive Jesus Christ into my body the way that He's asked me to. And I'm willing to do whatever He wants me to because of faithfulness. My Savior was faithful. Wouldn't you agree Jesus was faithful? Whatever God asked Him to do, He was faithful. Jesus, I want You to robe Yourself in flesh, earthly flesh. And I want You to go down there, that place where they've killed all Your prophets, that place where they haven't listened from the beginning. They consistently violate Your commands. They reject Your Word. They rebel against every gift that You've given to them. You want me to go down there? Yes. Because if You don't, they will die in their trespasses and sin. Every single human will go to hell. Hell will continue to enlarge herself and will fill herself with those people. And He says, I'll do it. I'll do it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the conversation comes up again. Jesus is praying. He's down on His knees. He's thinking more about it. He says, Father, if there's any other way, would You let this cup pass from me? And the Scripture says that He sweat as though it were great drops of blood. I don't know if you've ever sweat that hard, if you've ever prayed that hard, but Jesus did because He was serious. Is this the way? And the Father would say, this is the only way. And He was faithful. He was faithful. When man sinned, thorns and briars grew up. When Jesus died on the cross, He was willing to accept that payment. The crown of thorns was placed on His head. It was beat on His head. In the sweat of the field, you'll have your living, would come from to Adam. The sweat of the Messiah, the blood He shed on the cross, was given for you. He was faithful. He was faithful. He could have called 10,000 angels, the song would tell us, to destroy the world and set Him free. But He died alone for you and for me. He was faithful. And you and I, we don't have much time here on this earth. Some of you have lived to about 80. Some of you a little over 80. But there's not a single person here who's 90. You know why? Because they've passed on. They're not here anymore. You don't have much time to do God's faithfulness. What does He ask you to do? To share the gospel. Tell people what Jesus did. How He can forgive their sins. How they don't have to die in the trespasses and sins, but they can have a Savior. Because God's a giver. And He loves people. And He loves you. And if you've been communing with Him, you will love people. And you will want to be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Can you testify today? I've been faithful. Whatever God has asked me to do, I've been faithful. To things maybe He didn't say, do that. But I saw the need, and I was willing to feel the need. I was faithful. Can you testify today? You've been faithful to denying the cross because your desire was to follow Jesus, and you were faithful. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. And we're almost done. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul would write, now all these things happened unto them for in samples. That means that they were our examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. How much have we been in 1 Corinthians this morning? All the way from chapter 1 to chapter 11, where it talks about communion. You see, the Apostle Paul was trying to get the Corinthians ready to really experience true communion with Jesus Christ. You see, they had all these problems. They hadn't denied themselves. They weren't living in holiness. They weren't sacrificing. They haven't even lived out the cross. They were doing everything for their own selves, and they could not see the cross in front of them. They were not preaching the cross. They were trying to take advantage of God's grace and His mercy. But I just can't see, when I read the Scriptures and see in my mind, that those who are taking advantage of God's grace and His mercy are truly born again people. I just can't see it. If that's true, then there's something wrong with the way that we understand God's holy word. God's word says you're a new creature. You're born again. You don't think the same. You don't want to do the same. You want to be different. And you want to draw as many people in as you can. Just like the Apostle Paul said, I would be anything to anybody if I could reach them for the gospel. Yeah, I won't get them all, but I want some. That's good enough. Some. Oh, if we could get a glimpse of the gospel. True communion. Not just eating a wafer. Not just drinking a little sample, but true fellowship. The power of resurrection inside of you. The fellowship of His suffering. We want it. We desire it. Lord, would you help me to take up that cross? Help me to follow you. Make me holy. Make me faithful. Sister Betty and Brother Sean, would y'all come up and pray with me? Dear Lord, I know this is a complicated message. I know it was maybe even difficult on some level, but Lord, it's so needful in our day. Lord, we look out into the fields. It's wide unto harvest. The laborers are few. Yet there are many who say that they're Christian. Yet they haven't reached a single soul for you. And I just don't see how that lines up with what I see from your first 12 disciples, who gave everything, their own lives, their families, their jobs. They were willing to do whatever it is that you had them to do. They were willing. Lord, would you help us? Help us to do these things in remembrance of you. Help us to accept the cross. We understand it's foolish unto them, but Lord, we believe it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, help us to be holy because you're holy. Help us to sacrifice whatever we need to be, so that some could be reached. We know it's that important. Lord, help us to be faithful. That what you have called us to do, that we are willing to do it. Jesus went to the cross. He died. Most of us, you have not asked us to do that. But what you've asked us to do is to take care of the least of these. James would say it, that true religion and undefiled is to take care of the orphans and the widows. Lord, would you give us your eyes? Help us to live according to your testimony and to reach this world with the gospel, no matter what. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.